Ruchim Abayim, welcome to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Yisroi. Wow, Kabbalah HaTorah. Kabbalah HaTorah, the reason for our existence. There's no better way to say that. The Shir is given as Eichan Nishmas Ula Ilay Nishmas, your dear parents, Rebecca Basarina and Leon Ben Rachel. May their Neshama Torahs have a lichta Gagan Eden. Rabbeisai, I hope you enjoy the insights in Kabbalah HaTorah for this week's Parsha Insights, Parshas Yisroi. For us in Miami, we're experiencing a little bit of a frigid couple of days. We can't really say that to the many New Yorkers or anywhere else around the world, I should say, that they might be listening to the share where it's far more cold. But for us here in South Florida, where it's been a couple of days of frigid winter, we hope that the Shir and the Torah about Kabbalah HaTorah will warm us up and bring about the Eish HaTorah. The Pasuk tells us regarding Kabbalah HaTorah, Vayisyasu B'Sachtis HaHor, that we found ourselves literally standing at the foot of the mountain. Now, we did say Nase V'Nishma, however, the Torah was put over us to coerce us. Now, I'm not going to address it in the Shir. I'll just ask you the question very quickly for you to keep in mind, whether you're in the Heichal, almost a sold-out crowd tonight in the Heichal listening live, or the many around the world who will hear it once it's sent out. If we said Nase V'Nishma, why did we have to be coerced with the mountain being overturned over our head, as if to say, which the Gemara does say, if you accept it, good, and if not, not. We accepted it. We said Nase V'Nishma lovingly. What need was there for a coercion? Now, that's a very, very famous question. Many, many terutzim, beautiful terutz given from Tosfos and a pshat from Shmuel Birnbaum on it. Be'ezus Hashem, that's something you could discuss. I merely wanted to bring your attention to that very obvious question. But when the Gemara says that we were going to be coerced by the mountain being put over us, the Gemara says, Shekafa Kadosh Baruch Hu aleihem es ahar kigigas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the mountain over us like it would have been an overturned barrel. V'amar lehem, and he said to us, Atem mekablim ha-Torah mutav, if you accept the Torah, fine. V'im lav, shom tehei kuraschem, but if not, there you will be buried. And while this is a question we've addressed in the past, I want to give a few answers, different answers to an obvious question. If the mountain is being put over us as an overturned barrel, and we're being told if you accept the Torah, good, and if not, shamtei churaskam, I presume what the Gemara means is that if we don't accept the Torah, the mountain will be put over us, and there we'll meet our demise and our death. So it should say, poi tehei churaskam, here you'll be buried, here under the mountain, not there. What's the shum? So one of the famous answers we've given in the past, I'd like to expand on that answer. We're misunderstanding the purpose of the mountain being put over us. We think that the mountain was being put over us to coerce us, to bring about our demise, as if we would be buried under and in the mountain. That's not true. There's something called the Cheder Atum. It's something Reb Matisyahu Zecher Tzadik HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke about, especially in the early 90s with the Gulf War. Cheder Atum means, like they'll have in Eretz Yisrael, a sealed room, a room that's totally sealed to be protected from different warfare, etc. The mountain was going to be put over us to save us, not to harm us, to serve as a place that would insulate and isolate. Two key words, insulate and isolate. Because if you don't find your home under that mountain, I have news for you, says the Gemara. Shum, out there, tehei kuraschem, you don't stand a chance. There's an entire world out there. It's a very, in some ways, a very physically dangerous world, certainly a spiritually dangerous world. How does a yid survive? Because out there, shum, out there, Aren't we concerned about ourselves and more so about our kinderlach? So what's the Eitzah? The Eitzah is to create a cheder atum, to put that mountain over you, which for us today, the mountain must be, of course, our batei kesiyos, our batei midrashos, and might I add, we speak about it very often, our home. Our home must be creating a cheder atum feeling, a place that insulates and isolates, both of which are critical. Insulating meaning to say that what we have here, don't look elsewhere, don't look elsewhere. It's found in here. That's why it's so important, by the way, to create a home environment of excitement, fun, vivaciousness, importance, hislavos, chashivos, so that the appreciation can be found within and no one chalila has to seek for it outside. Because shum tehekuraschem, and also it isolates. That's something that is critically important. We tend to think of isolation like the Metzaira as something that's terrible. In the sense of the Metzaira, it is terrible, but the point of isolation is I'm on my own. And for us, it's actually something I addressed this past Shabbos afternoon. In our Parsha Shir preceding Minch, I shared with the Olam words that it says in last week's Parsha, Parsha's B'Shalach, my father's Atzal HaRav Mordechai Shapiro brings out a beautiful thought. The Pasuk says that when we left Mitzrayim, V'leikara Zel Zekol Alayla, I said this Shabbos afternoon, which literally means that in a geographic and strategic way, we and the Egyptians never got close. In other words, you want to leave a proper space between you and your enemies, say a half a day, 30 kilometers, whatever it might have been. My father's Atzal explains it differently. Laila is always a reference for Golos. Laila is always referring to the funereal Golos that we find ourselves in. The Eitzah, the most important piece of advice to remember as you go through the Laila, the Golos, is the Leikarav Ze El Ze. Don't get too close to them. The minute you feel, well, don't we have to do exactly like them? Don't we have to fit in the way we dress and where we go and what we do and certainly in the music that we listen to? Don't we know Reb Chaim Volozhiner said that if the Yid will not make Kiddush, the Goy will make Havdalah? And of course, that's meant to be understood that we have to make Kiddush, the Kiddush Hashem. We're an exalted nation. The fact that we're different is our pride, or else they'll quickly make Havdalah and separate us from them. As you go through the Laila of Golus and the difficulties and challenges that there are, don't get close. Don't think, well, isn't it more important that we just fit in and therefore, be it the way I dress, the music that I listen to, what I do, the places that I go, my value system, my priorities, chalila. The fact that we are different, and I, of course, quoted the pshat from the Sasemich, which we have said countless times, it might actually be the pshat or one of them that we've said most often in our almost 30 years here together, Purim. Today was Tu B'Shvat. That means we're less than 30 days from Purim. I'm not going to remind many in the room that that means we're then less than a month from Pesach after that. I wouldn't do that. I would not remind you of that, or perhaps the cleaning that might entail. I'm just mentioning the Jewish life cycle of Yom Tovim. But in less than 30 days is Pesach. And when, excuse me, I apologize, Purim. And when Haman turned to Ahasuerus, she said, we've got to get rid of them because Dosehem Shoynes Mikol Am. I think it's become our tradition to say this at least once a year. Literally in English, that means they're a nation, they have a different set of laws. They're a nation that has a different set of laws. One has to wonder, what's profound about that? What makes you a nation is having a different set of laws. We drive on this side of the street, but in parts of the UK, the other side of the street. Our custom is to clear the table one way, and in other places they clear it differently. What makes a nation is having a different set of laws. So what's novel about what seems to be a simple comment, Dosehem Shoynes Mikol Am? The Sfasemus famously says, Dosehem Shoynes Mikol Am does not mean they have a different set of laws. It means Dosehem The Jewish law is shaynais mikol am, to be different than everybody else. Now that's a pshat. And I'm sorry if it's too powerful to say, but I sometimes wonder if Haman understood that better than us. The sehem, our guiding rule, must be shaynais mikol am. We are different. That has to be our mantra. That has to be our pride. That's a badge that we wear with a barimzachkeit. The fact that, yes, we have so many do's and don'ts and things and articles of clothing and music. It's just a whole potpourri. A Torah HaKdoshah. That's what this is all about, the Torah. The fact that we are different, that must be our law. And it can't be that he understood that better than us. The way Karav Ze'elzeh Kol HaLaila, in the Laila of the funereal Golos, make sure we make Kiddush. Make sure we are Shainais Mikol Am. Make sure, Abay Sai, the way Karav Ze'elzeh. How does one accomplish that? Vayesyasu Bisachte Sahar, let the mountain be put over you. Because if the mountain is not over you, and you find yourself out there to live and out there for whatever it might be, shum, 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 out there, tehekuraschem. It's physically dangerous, and perhaps spiritually even more so. So the advice is, our bate knesio, I say bate midrashis, but as I said a few moments ago, certainly our home must become the cheder atum. It must become the har. And it's interesting to note, because the word har, Chazal say, is also from the word horim, and horim are your parents. We look to our har, our horim, to create that cheder atum. In fact, the pasuk says, hagbel es har, to surround the har, which, by the way, if har is also a reference to horim, could certainly mean Hagbel Esahor, it's beautiful when you surround your parents. When generations could live together, be it in the same physical location, or certainly when, even though many miles may separate, but you surround each other in a spiritual sense. So I'm merely pointing out Al Pidrush that if the word Har is a reference to the word Hayrim, and it says Hagbel Esahor, to surround the mountain, that could certainly also mean surround your horim, your parents. How important is family unity? However, we could also say, as the Svarim do al Pidrush, Hagbel Esahor, surround the letters of Har. Har is spelled Hey Resh. Each of those two letters have a letter before and after. What's before the Hey? A Dalet. And what's after? A Vav. The Resh of Har. What's before? A Kuf. And what's after? A Shin. Those four letters, before and after, the two before and two after, Dalet and Vav, Kuf and Shin, when rearranged, spells the word Kadosh, holiness and exaltedness. Hagbel es Har, the beauty of surrounding your Har, your Horim, is that it should bring about Kedusha. Fabulous pshat based on the letters before the Hay, after the Hay, before the Resh, and after the Resh. Rearrange spells the word Kadosh. That's the Kedusha that we're looking to create. And so it behooves us, especially as we read Parshas Yisro again, and here we are standing at the foot of the mountain, I ask you a question. Will you be zoicha to have Kof Aleihem Har Kegigis, the mountain, put over you? Because that's a blessing. That's a huge blessing. It's the blessing of insulation and isolation, the blessing of Kedusha, the blessing of Cheder Atum. So how are you doing with that? Are we Zaycha in our homes to that bracha? Perhaps that brings to mind another pshat on these very same words, a very different pshat, very different from the great Maggid of Yaakov Galinsky. One of my favorite pshatim, I sometimes say it Elul time, but it's so powerful all year round. And maybe this pshat of his helps us with the first one. What did we say that this Gemara tells us in Shabbos Peches? Shom Tehei Kuraschem, there, which in the first shot it meant out there, how dangerous it could be, Tehei Kuraschem. But Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky says so beautifully, what might be one of the greatest impediments to people accomplishing and achieving? And I'm really speaking to myself because I know it's something that I, and I imagine most of us, have to work on. Very often we find that we'll come up with the excuse, you know, right now I'm a little bit, actually very busy and preoccupied to do X, Y, and Z, but, you know, at the next stage in my life, I'll have so much more time. So when I get there, that's when I'll really become more serious about Tefillah B'Tzibur. Right now, I would love to go to that shir. I just can't. But when I get to the next station in my life, you can't imagine. My whole schedule will be so much freer. I'll have so much more time. I'll do it when I get there. How often might a person say at a stage in their life, well, right now, I'm in the parsha of Shidduchim, but when I get married and things will settle down, I'll have so much more time. Well, not right now, but I mean when it, and not right now, and when I'm raising the children, I mean this, and this, and this, and this, and this, until all the stages of life come and go, and the person no longer has an opportunity. The person eventually passes away at the age of 120. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky says, one of the greatest impediments to a person changing, accomplishing, is that they always feel when I get to that next station, when I get there, oh, you'll see, that's when I'll do it. And that's how he says so profoundly, shum, with the attitude of there, shum, when I get there, tehei kuraschem. That's the way many people end up getting buried, never quite getting there, because they never believe that now is the time to make the change. Generally, we procrastinate, we come up with excuses, we have rationalizations and justifications, sometimes legitimate. More often than not, that's not the case. I'm merely bringing to our attention that if we have the impetus, the hisayrus, the gefil, everybody knows, maybe it's to go to Tefillah B'Tzibur and become better at that, or maybe it's to attend more shiurim, make shiurim a greater part of our life, whatever it might be. Remember one thing. If you have the opportunity, do it now. If you have the opportunity, do it now. Because saying when I get there, shum, 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 sometimes that never happens. And shum tehei kuraschem. And maybe that explanation helps us with the first explanation, that when a person has a hisayrus and when a person realizes, you know, let me take it serious and make that change. Don't let it become a shum. Do it now. Create that environment. I must tell you a beautiful pshat that we said from the Friday night when we say Kiddush, Tchila Mekroi Kodesh Zech Letzias Mitzrayim. Are we not talking about now going out of Mitzrayim? It's such a beautiful pshat to hear. Sometimes you think, based on the lures I've said the last 10, 15 minutes, okay, I know it's all true, but me? That's not me. I have fallen, I'm so far removed, I can't do it, it's just not me. Tell me, who was more off, or should I say at a lower level of impurity than those who left Mitzrayim? They were on the 49th level of impurity, one more moment than it would have been the point of no return. And yet last time I checked, 7 weeks later on the drop of the dime, they were at Kabbalah Satayra. If they could turn it around in less than 2 months, then so could you. And that's how we translate to the words of the Friday night Kiddush. Techila l'mikra'i kodesh. The first thing to remember, techila l'mikra'i kodesh, when you have that feelings of Kedusha, you have those feelings of I can do it, what's the first thing you should do? Zecher l'yitzias Mitzrayim. Remember those who went out of Mitzrayim. And if in less than 2 months or 7 short weeks they were able to turn it around on the drop of a dime, then so could you. Techila l'mikra'i kodesh. The first thing, the haschala to those calls of Kedusha, zecher l'yitzias Mitzrayim. That's the antithesis, the antidote, should I say, to Sham, 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 Sham. Because most of us with the Sham, we never quite get there. Sham Tehekuraskam. It's in the Po, it's in the here and now. In fact, Rabbi Sai, earlier this week I reminded the Olam of something that we said from the Heilige Chofetz Chaim, Zechus V'Yagon Aleinu. I believe it's one of the most profound pshatim that you'll ever hear. Famously, the Pasuk says, V'ata Yisrael Ma Hashem Elkecha Shol Ma'imach, and now call Yisrael, what does God ask of you? And then Liyira, there are a bunch of things that are listed. If I would go around this room, and as we've said, ask those in the Heichal, those listening live, or those who'll hear it when it's sent out, and I would ask you, which of those on that list would you say is the most important one? Most of you would probably say Yira, others would pick something else. Which one would you pick? The Chofetz Chaim said they would all be good choices, but not the best one. What is the most important one? Pick the number one, I'm asking you. Give me in 3 seconds the number one. Which one is it? You know what the Chofetz Chaim says it is? It's the first word that most people gloss over. What's the first word? The Ata with an ayin, and now. It seems like not everybody glossed over it, so maybe you heard it from me before, but it's a fabulous, fabulous shot. You know what the most important thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you is? The Ata. In fact, I think I might have said it last week in Kavat Itim, so I apologize for you. It's Chazara. The Ata and now. How are you serving Hashem in the here and now? No two stations of a people's life are similar. In fact, your station now might not be what it is in 2 months or what it was a year ago. Things change, situation changes, things come up, down, whatever it might be. You know what the most important thing is to your avodas Hashem? The Ata. How do you do in the here and now? In the now, the way it is Ata. Now, that's the way to make sure you don't suffer from Shum Tehekuraskam. And this might be the most beautiful part of what we're saying. It's one of my favorite pshatim, absolutely one of the most spectacular pshatim from the Heilige Avnei Nezer. We know famously that the Ribbono Shel Olam went to the Bnei Esav and the Bnei Yishmael, you want the Torah? And they all, each of them asked Maksiv Bey, and then they were given something that was impossible for them to keep. One was told, when Yishmael's children were told, you can't steal, those are the demands, they declined the Torah. And you find that the Bnei Esav were told that you can't kill. Too difficult for us. It goes against our natural instinct. Agav, before we get to the Avnei Nezer, there's a beautiful pshat within the pshat. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give them, if he was apparently offering them a legitimate chance at the Torah, why does it seem like he set them up for failure by giving them something that would be impossible for them to keep? Bnei Esav and Bnei Yishmael can't possibly comply with not stealing and not killing. That's their bread and butter. So if it was a legitimate offer, why apparently were they set up for failure? One of the beautiful explanations is that really, of course, when the Ribbono Shel Olam went to them, it was a legitimate opportunity. Do you want it? Do you want it? But the minute that they said those three words, Maksiv Bey, what's written in it? You know what that means? They're conditional people. We'll accept it if it fits into our lifestyle. As we spoke out in the last couple of weeks of Rosh Hashanah and Fol Hirsh on Kavati from Atayra. The minute the Ribbono Shel Olam heard that the way they're approaching Torah is as conditional people, Maksiv Bey, does it fit into my lifestyle or to my social milieu? Is it the type of weather and climate that will allow me to do what I want and make me feel free and liberated? The minute they answered Maksiv Bey, showing their true colors of being conditional people, it's not for you. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam gave them Leitzirtzach and Leitzignach, things that they could never possibly ever keep. Because after you've showed your true colors of Maksiv Bey, it's not for you. Now let's get to the pshat of the Avnei Nezer. The Ribbono Shel Olam went to each of those two and gave them something that, as I just told you, went against their natural instinct. It went against their teva, their tendency, their grain. You're asking B'nai Esav not to kill? You're asking B'nai Yishmael not to steal? That's their bread and butter. That's what they do. That's the way they drink water. When the Ribbono Shel Olam came to us, we accepted the Torah. It says, Na'aseh v'nishma, says the Avnei Nezer, but that's because we weren't challenged with anything that went against our DNA or our natural grain instinct or tendency. Maybe if the Ribbono Shel Olam would have tested us with the same harsh test that they were tested with, something that went against their very being, their mahus, maybe they also, B'nai Yisrael, would have said no, just like B'nai Yisrael and B'nai Yishmael. But seemingly, we weren't tested with anything that went against our natural grain. Says the Avnei Nezer so powerfully, as you're correctly showing, absolutely, we were tested. The same way B'nai Yisrael were tested with something that went against their natural tendency, like Sirtzach, and B'nai Yishmael were tested with something that went against their DNA, like Sigdai, we were as well. You see, inside the neshama of every yid, and I'm going to repeat that sentence again so you hear me clearly, inside the neshama of every yid is what's called kirvas elikim. Kirvas elikim means the desire and the passion entrenched in our DNA to get closer and closer and closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Sometimes we feel it more and sometimes we feel it less. But kirvas elikim is a fact. Every one of us has within us this natural desire, this burning desire of kirvas elikim. That's our very being. Yet when we were approaching Har Sinai, as we said in the beginning of the shir, what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to B'nai Yisrael and said, stop, 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 stop. Don't go any closer. Stop, you can't get any closer. You're telling a yid, stop. You're telling a yid that they can't go past the boundary and they can't get closer to you. When in our soul, you're giving us something that went totally, totally against the nature of the yid. You're asking us to stop harder than it was for B'nai Yishmael not to steal and B'nai Esav not to kill, is to tell a yid, stop from being a Ben Aliyah. Stop from getting closer. Stop from getting Yishtaykik La'aviyam Sheba Shemayim. And yet, by the way, we were willing to do it. We were willing to abide by this restriction with no qualms. That showed how willing we were to go against our teva, against our normal behavior. And when we show that, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, now you're deserving. Now you've demonstrated that my Torah is for you. What a marvelous, marvelous shot from the Helig Avnei Nezer. So yes, Rabbeisai, we were challenged with something more difficult than B'nai Yisrael and B'nai Yishmael. We were challenged and we were being told, stop, stop in your quest for being a Ben Aliyah, stop in Kirvas Elikim, stop with Shtaykik Laviyim Sheba Shemayim. But as I said a moment ago, with it all, we were willing to abide by that restriction, if it meant getting the Torah. Ooh, then you've demonstrated it's for you. And that's the beauty of standing by Yisyasu V'Sachti Sahar and answering Na'aseh V'Nishma. We were willing to go against that which is entrenched in our DNA, and we were rewarded with the Torah, which is our Kedusha, which is our Har, which is our Cheder Atum, which is a thing that makes us different. I want to remind you, Rabbi Yisai, you might have heard the words that just came out of my mouth from the Avnei Nezer, and you'll say, as I said a moment ago, this Kirvas Elikim, let's be honest, sometimes we feel it more, sometimes we feel it a bit less, but it's always there. I believe it's the Helig Anoyim Elimelech who says, Pesach Yis Yazdechu Masbi Elecho Chai Ratzai, and it translates in a beautiful way. A person sometimes needs the Ratzain, needs the desire, but sometimes a person doesn't have the Ratzain to have the Ratzain. Sometimes the person doesn't feel like they even have the Ratzon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please grant me the Ratzon. Please grant me that I should want to want. Because if you merit the Ratzon to want, then the Kirvas Elikim from within explodes into the beauty of a Yid. And that's what took place at Har Sinai. I certainly hope for every one of us that we are Zaycha, as once again we're about to relive a Kabbalah Satira. And you know what it says? Rashi tells us about a Kabbalah Satira. It has to always be Chadashim Alecha, new each and every day. I hope, Ezras Hashem, that the Rotzein, the burning desire, is always there. I hope, Ezras Hashem, we feel the Kirvas Elikim. It's exactly who we are. Make sure to live in the Atta, the now. That's the way to never fall to Sham, 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 Deikurasem. But perhaps most importantly, it's all to bring us the way we started. For our Batei Knesiyos and our Batei Midrashos and our homes to be that Har, that place of Kiddush. As I said, it comes from the word Hiram, and we turn to our Hiram. It's called a Mashpia. Mashpia is someone who influences you. Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky famously says, Mashpia is from the word Shipua. Shipua is a slant, because something on a slant goes from high to low, and the influences from up high have to gravitate down below to the next generation. We should be Zaycha. Hagbel Sahar, as we said, those letters of Har spell the word Kaddish, that our home should be a Makom of Kedusha. Abaisai, just a slight challenge to conclude this year. If we are going to be laning V'yishasu V'sachdis Sahar, what could we do to make our Har, our Cheder Atum, our home, a place of just a little bit more Kedusha? Nobody has to call out the answer to me, but you do have to ask it to yourselves. V'asuli migdash v'shachanti b'soicham. Hashem would be comfortable in your bias. We should all be zeich, as we've said kama v'kama times. The gematria of the word bias is 412, and the gematria of the word mikdash is 444. The difference between 412 and 444 is 32. 32 is lave, our heart. Let's put our lave into our bias, thereby turning it into an everlasting mikdash.